There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us for hour two here in the darkness on the edge of town. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, as always, my co-host and producer, Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Hey, Dizzle.
Hey, we'd like to put out a congratulations to Indianapolis Colts head coach Tony Dungy for making it to the Super Bowl, and also to the Chicago Bears head coach Lovie Smith and your amazing teams. Great games today. Thank you very much for the entertainment. Look forward to a good game in 2 weeks. And that we will have a brand new show on that weekend for Super Bowl weekend, but Tim and I will not be able to take your questions during that as we will be out of town for that game. So just so you know that, the show will be pre-recorded, but it will be brand new for you. I also want to take a quick mention to thank again everybody that attended the Queen Mary trip with us. Had a great time. It was a pleasure meeting you. And if you did get any cool evidence, please feel free to email it over to dave@darknessradio.com. Love to share it on the website and also on our radio show on a future broadcast. And for those of you interested in attending our other trips, please go to darknessradio.com/trips, or just go to darknessradio.com and click on the trips tab. We're going to be going out to Eastern State Penitentiary, and that's going to be the next trip we're working on that'll be coming up this summer in either May or June. And we'll be along with Jason, Grant, and Steve from Ghost Hunters and Chris Fleming from the TV show Dead Famous. And you'll also get to hang out with Tim and I. And as a special added bonus, just added to the lineup is my little brother, Lee, who's, I think, listening for the first time on the air tonight. Aww. So my brother Lee will be out there watching my back. My little brother, who's 6'4" and could bench press me. So he'll be out there, and it'll be kind of cool to hang out with him.
In honor of Lee's appearance at the trip, I think myself and Russ Clark's puppet Denny are going to do a reenactment of Oz, our favorite episode of Oz.
No, that's not a good plan. No, this is a family show. Come on now.
I'm sorry.
We will get going now. As I mentioned at this last event, we did a really cool charity auction and raised $9,000 for charity, and had a great time. And our next guest stepped up and was kind enough to donate a $500 consultation and feng shui certificate for our listeners, and that was part of the auction. That was a great, great gift to give out, and we did have a buyer on that, so we thank him for doing that. But I wanted to talk to him because, as far as I knew, I mean, and Tim, you're probably with me on this, you know, I got the wife watching HGTV, and feng shui to me was nothing more than a decorating technique. And, you know, as I started to read more about David Weiss, our guest, and learn a little bit more about it, you know, I think it does fall into the realm of the metaphysical and paranormal, and fits in quite nicely, especially when you realize there are things like changing the things in your room can help eliminate nightmares and change your fortune and your luck. So I wanted to talk to David about that, and he was kind enough to join us this evening. And David Weiss is a feng shui practitioner, a Reiki master, a certified ATP and medium. David has studied many energy techniques, including shamanism and power animals, which he incorporates in his work. His clients spread across the United States, and they include several prominent personalities' homes, medical offices, and major corporations, including the National Resources Defense Council, King's Hawaiian Bakery, and studios in Hollywood. Tonight we're here, we're going to discuss with him the mystical art of feng shui, and as I said, it's more than a form of decorating, it's a way to change your life and clear your energy and the negative energy of those that came before you. We're going to separate, hopefully tonight, some of the truth from the myth and get to the heart of this ancient practice. If you are interested, now Dave can do live sessions with you, and he can also do remote consultations. I do have a link for him up on our website and his phone number to contact him, so please feel free to check that out as well. But we'd like to welcome him to the darkness on the edge of town, David Weiss. Good evening, David.
Good evening, David. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you very much for joining us. And again, thank you for your gift at the charity auction. That was very kind of you to be a part of it.
It was my pleasure.
Now, let's talk a little bit about this. Now, you've got a couple titles in your bio that I'm not familiar with. What is a certified ATP?
ATP stands for Angel Therapy Practitioner. It's a course that was designed by Dr. Doreen Virtue. She is known around the world as the Angel Lady. She speaks with angels and has gotten a lot of guidance. So she teaches techniques on tuning into guidance from your angels on how to clear past emotional problems, addictions, also getting guidance and communication. That's basically what the ATP stands for.
Okay. And you also mentioned that you work with different energy techniques, including shamanism, which we're familiar with, and power animals. What are power animals?
Power animals is basically comes out of the shamanic practices. One of the teachers I've been studying with, Dr. Stephen Farmer, has just written a book, Power Animals and Animal Spirit Guides. And what it is recognizing communication and guidance and messages that come through animals because they're so present in our daily life.
Now, are you talking about metaphysical type of animals that appear to us in our dreams or an actual animal that may cross our paths?
Both, actually. It can be a, let's say you're thinking of a project and all of a sudden you start seeing tigers. You know, you pass a sign for, say, ExxonMobil and you see the tiger on a billboard and then the next thing you know and you're listening and you see a box of maybe Frosted Flakes and there's a tiger. Then you open up a magazine, there's a picture of a tiger and it just keeps appearing over and over. It can be a message for you to, for example, focus in on your passion and kind of contain that energy. Don't start telling everybody about the project you're working on. Just as like the way a tiger hunts, he doesn't announce his approach to a prey. So it follows along the way you work with power animals in a very basic form is understand what the energy of that animal is.
Mm-hmm.
For example, since we're talking about a tiger, it's a very powerful animal. He's a hunter. He goes after things with intense focus, and he doesn't waver. He sees his prey. He focuses in on it. He stalks it, approaches it very tactfully, and then just goes for it. And that might be a message for that person that's getting that message of tiger in their life, is to go after things with passion and purpose and focus.
Now, who discerns what these meanings are, what the animal
there
conveys?
There are basic meanings that you can get through books. I also, through studying the power animal techniques, can take people through a meditation. Maybe they'll see a vision or get an image of an animal. And through the meditations, I actually have them talk to the animals, whether it's in their dream state or however they see it, and see what type of messages they get. So it's basically tuning into the energy of that and seeing what type of messages you get. And a lot of times because I love animals so much, I've got an affinity for them. I've got 6 cats and a dog at home. And I just love being around those animals. So for me, it's a great way to get messages for people. I might get an image of an animal as I'm talking to somebody, and that image of the animal might give me some clue as to what's going on with that person.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, and again, you know, we try to get full understanding, so please don't take offense to the questions that I ask. But one of the things that you mentioned is that all of a sudden you see the tiger on the gas sign, and then the Tony the Tiger, and you know, turn on the radio and the Eye of the Tiger song is playing. Now, isn't that also known as a mnemonic trigger where, you know, like myself, you buy a car, you know, say like a really cool macho purple PT Cruiser, and then all of a sudden you notice that there's 1,000 of them out there. And the only reason, you know, they were always out there, but you notice it now because it's part of your life and you have one, so you start to notice it. So if I've chosen a bat as my totem or I feel that's my strength, then aren't I more apt to notice? Maybe there's a billion tigers flashing around me all the time, but all I notice are the bats.
Usually that's true, because you may start noticing the bat more. And usually what I tell people is tune into what the message is and see what you're getting from seeing that bat. Tune in, and if you go into meditation, ask the bat, see it, and there's a way to go into a meditative state, and it's called journeying in shamanism, to go in and talk to the bat and see what the message is or what the teaching is for you.
See, what I have trouble understanding then, though, is how do we know that we're not just is the bat real, or is it just a representation in our mind of something? I mean, am I really resourcing a spirit guide or an animal guide, or am I just resourcing a piece of common sense that I probably already knew the answer to?
It could be both.
Okay.
It could be both. There's a difference between your animal guides and messages that come through animals.
Okay.
So just like you may, to take it away, even step back from animals, you might be thinking, I mean, a great example is the Jim Carrey movie,
Ace Ventura?
No, the one where he becomes God for the day.
Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty.
Right.
When he's driving down the road going, God, just give me a sign, and a truck pulls in front of him and says all the caution signs, road closed, and
right.
All these things flashing. It's when you're thinking about a question and then pay attention to the signs and see what signs you get. And animals are just one of the types of signs that you might get. People that use numerology, sometimes it's like focus on the numbers or number sequences you might get. So with the power animals, it's focus on what animals show up.
Do you believe that maybe the reason people have certain fears of animals, snakes, spiders, birds, you know, things like that, is there a reason for it? Metaphysical reason, do you believe, or is it just something that, maybe a past life deal or something, or do you feel that knowing power animals, is there a reason that I have a fear of ladybugs? You know, I mean, what is there to that? Do you have a theory on it?
My theory on it, and this is my theory, is that there may be something that they're afraid of approaching or looking at in their life that has to do with that, the energy of that animal. That might be one thing. I mean, another thing, it might be somebody was attacked by a dog when they were little and they're just scared of it, and that's a phobia. Another one could be media hype, you know, but from a metaphysical level, it could be something that that person is not willing to look at that aspect of themselves.
Okay.
For example, spider is a creativity and it creates the web, so it can be connecting with the web of life. And it might be somebody that is deathly afraid of spider, socially maybe very shy, very insecure, and not really feeling like they're part of the whole picture.
All right.
That's an example. It's not for everybody, but what I always tell people with anything metaphysical is take from it what rings true with you.
Okay.
Don't take everything as gospel. Not everything is absolute. It's more of an art form. And it's trying to find the message in the pattern.
Okay. All right.
So I take a very practical approach. I've got an engineering background, so I take a very pragmatic approach to it all, and then I see how things tie together, and then use my own discernment, my own judgment.
Now, you're a medium as well. So
yes.
that means you can speak to loved ones that have crossed over?
Yes, I've done that in the past.
Can you see spirits that are still earthbound?
Yes.
Okay, so when we were investigating on the Queen Mary, could you physically see spirits walking about the boat?
I could feel the presence
ship,
of things.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I could feel the presence of things. I don't always see them, and it depends on how tuned in I was. On the Queen Mary, I was basically relying more on my instruments, so I was toning down any mediumship because I wanted to see what I physically got.
Okay.
I can tend to do that fairly easily when I go into investigations because I want to see what's actually happening. And then when I do my own investigations, because I've been doing that for about 5 years with my wife, and then I turn on all my senses and I sense what's there, but then I also look at what I'm getting on the film and see what's going on with the people too.
Now, when you do the medium work, do the spirits come to you in physical form where you can see them? Are you clairaudient? Are you what exactly is clairsentient? How are they coming through?
I usually see the picture in my head, and I get a sense that they're there.
Okay. But when they communicate with you, I know John Edwards sometimes says his mother or whoever it is that comes to him will see like a picture of an apple pie, and he'll know what that relates to in his own life, so he knows how to relate it for you. Are you seeing flashcards? Are you hearing them say, oh, tell Bobby I love him and the keys to the Chevette are hidden behind the porch or something like that?
Sometimes I'll see that.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll hear that. Sometimes I'll get flashes. Sometimes they'll show me, like I said, animals, or I'll see like a little movie scene play out and I'll go, oh, okay, I'm getting something like this. Sometimes I might just see somebody's hands, and I'll be like, or there was one lady I was doing a reading for. She was from Australia. It just met her, and I just kept seeing this guy was very, very, very dirty, and I was like, I didn't understand it. And turns out that her father, I'm like, I see this guy is like worked in a very dirty environment. Well, he's a coal miner,
oh,
so I was just seeing like his, you know, the face of a coal, you know, of a dirty person.
Sure.
And that's all I got. I didn't get a full body apparition. So it's, and sometimes it's just a flash, a second, that I'll pick up on it, and then just trust it, and go with it.
At what age did you realize that you had these abilities?
Actually, I started really honing these abilities in the last 5 or 6 years. I've always been interested in this stuff. Maybe that's why. I was raised in a very traditional Jewish background. We never talked about this stuff. We never discussed any of this stuff. And about 5 or 6 years ago, I ended up taking some classes, just going, you know, this is just something interesting. My wife's always been interested in it. So we started studying it, and very quickly I started getting information that was confirmed. So I've just been building on it and building on it.
All right. Now let's start, you know, why don't we take a quick break here, Tim? And then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about feng shui and its principles and what it can do to help people improve their lives and the things that they're doing. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, and our guest is David Weiss. We'll be back with more right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the Darkness on the Edge of Town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
It looks good and now to run,
Roger. Okay, each of you youngins take a gun, a beer, and some smoke.
Throttle, circuit breakers in. We have separation. Inboard and outboard, they're on. We're coming forward with the side stick.
Looks good.
Roger. I've got a blowout, neighbor three. Get your pitch to zero. Pitch is out, I can't hold out the two. Direction, alpha hold is off. Trip selected, emergency. Flight calm, I can't hold it, she's breaking up, she's breaking...
Dave.
You bastard!
Dave Schrader, paranormal host.
A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic
paranormal host. Dave Schrader
will be that man. Better than he was before.
What is it that makes you set shoot?
Better, stronger, faster.
Run, Lord, run! Run, Lord!
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
I do feel faster, stronger, and more able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, Tim.
Yeah!
We are listening to the... Well, we're not listening to it because we're doing the show, but you're listening
Pretty
to
much.
The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, and we appreciate you being here sharing the evening with us, and hopefully you'll tell your friends about us and come back and join us each week as we delve into the world of the paranormal. This evening, we're talking to our guest, David Weiss, and we're talking to him about the ancient art of feng shui. Am I pronouncing that correctly, David?
Yes, you are.
Feng shui, chops. I can't get it all right, man. It's driving me crazy. So let's talk a little bit about this, because what I was really interested in the profile that you'd sent me was that some of the, you were able to help a woman whose child was having night terrors by doing feng shui. You were able to help people with money problems doing feng shui, with their marriage problems. What exactly is the art of feng shui? And give us the basics of it, how it all works.
Okay. The real basics of feng shui, it translates as closely as we can from Chinese to English as wind and water. And what that represents is the water aspect of it represents our physical environment, things you can touch, your furniture, your artwork, bric-a-brac you have around your house, anything that you can physically touch. And the air, or the wind, represents your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, those things that are real but you just can't physically put your hand on it.
Right.
And what is the balance of those two? What feng shui does is, it, as one author put it, is it's arranging your outer world, your physical environment, to enhance your inner world, what you want to create. So if you want to create a relationship, you can look at things in the relationship part of your house and make sure things are working the right way or placed in the right order.
Well, let me ask you with this, you know, I've known couples that get along great and they move into a new house and all of a sudden their marriages deteriorate in a year or two and they're getting a divorce, fighting all the time. Could it be that they've moved into a toxic environment and that's what's bleeding into their lives?
It very well could be. That's one of the things I find a lot in a lot of consultations. One of the things I ask, I actually send a questionnaire out ahead of time before any consultation. And one of the things I ask is, what changed after you moved into this house? And if you know anything about the previous owners of the house, did they sell the house because they were doing really well and they bought a bigger house, or was it a divorce sale? Did they go bankrupt and had to get, you got it on a foreclosure? What happened? Because you're essentially moving into that energy that was created in that house.
Now, what if somebody had a terminal illness in that house and you move into it? Could you move into it and begin to feel ill and carry on, you know, pick up the energy of the sick people that were there before you?
What you would possibly feel is maybe you wouldn't pick up the illness, but you may feel tired, you may feel drained, you may feel the stress of the people that were taking care of that person, and you can just feel like an uneasiness.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what happens is the first few months you're moving into a new place, you've got a lot of excitement and energy, you don't notice anything, and after time, and it depends on how long that event took place, let's say somebody, you know, was terminally ill for, say, 5, 6, 7 years in that house, and they were in the house the whole time, and it was a very stressful time. Over a period of time, it may affect the people that are in the house.
Okay.
Depends on how sensitive they are, but it can affect it.
Well, for our listeners, let's say, you know, we buy a brand new house, we haven't put our furniture in there yet, it's moving day. Is there something simple we can do through the house to clear out some of the crap that might be there before we move our stuff in?
Yeah, there's some simple things you can do. One of the things I always like to have people do is do like a little blessing for the house. Just take a few minutes and just say something as simple as doing a prayer or a blessing for the house, thanking the house for letting you live there, and seeing the house filled with like bright light energy. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, surrounding yourself in white light, but just seeing this pure light just radiating throughout the house. I mean, it's something that somebody can visualize and just send your joy and energy through the house. A lot of times that can help clear up and just kind of bring the house in tune with your own energy.
Now, I had read an article somewhere that if you walk into a room, especially an empty room where it should have that echoey effect, and if you call out or clap your hand and it's a flat, dead sound, that means that there's a lot of residual energy in that room, and a way to clear it is by clapping your hands and moving from one side of the room through it to clear it out. Is that something that's part of the feng shui? Or?
Yeah, sound is a good vibration. I use sometimes use a drum if I go through a house, and I'm not going to disturb neighbors. I don't want to get neighbors. I've done that in offices, you know, late at night, and I didn't realize the guy next door in the next suite was still working in there, and he starts banging on the wall back at me. But you can use it was kind of funny. But it was 10 o'clock at night on a Wednesday. I figured the chiropractor was gone, you know, but he was still working. But you can use sound. Clapping your hands is a good way to do it. drumming is a good way. If you've got a bell, I use a Tibetan bell or chimes.
We need more cowbell, David.
You
more
can use a cowbell, whatever. Whatever, you know, it's got to be a sound that sounds nice to you. You know, I wouldn't want to use something that sounds, you know, if you like cows and that works for you, use it.
Okay, so a pleasing sound to clear the room.
Pleasing sounds, pleasing scents, like essential oils are really great to clear a space. You can use, some people use sage to clear a space, burn some, you know, like a smudge stick. You can burn candles with good essential oils like lemon or orange, which have a very purifying effect on even lavender oils. They have a very purifying effect on the environment.
Okay. All right.
And so,
so that's the way
good ways to do it also.
That's the way to start. Now, now when you move your furniture, now is it the positioning of the furniture? Is it the positioning of the rooms? What about feng shui is going to open up the best energy for your home?
Okay, first let me back up and explain a couple things about feng shui.
Okay.
In feng shui, there are nine areas that your home is broken up to, and they basically relate to nine areas of your life. So if you, let's just say your house is a square, and you drew a tic-tac-toe grid within that square, it would give you the nine spaces, correct?
Right.
You follow?
Sure.
So let me just go through the nine areas really quick. If you look at that square, closest to you in the center is what's called the career area. This is your career. This is your life path. This is what you do for a living. For you, you know, you've got your radio show and you promote the paranormal.
Right.
So that's your career area.
Mm-hmm.
To the left of that, in that corner, is your skill and knowledge section, which is about all the teaching, the coaching, the learning, how you, everything that you learn in life. And on the right side of that career, still on that bottom side, is what's called the helpful people section. This is people behind the scenes that help you get through life. You know, it's the people that get your luggage on the same plane that you're going on, but you never know who these people are. Okay?
Okay.
You move up to those center three squares, and on the left side, this is your family area. And this is about your foundation for emotional healing, which is your family. It's a foundation for finances, and it's also about getting along in groups of people, family
okay.
groups or work groups or friend groups,
mm-hmm.
groups of three or more. The center of that is your health. This is your physical well-being, your physical health. And on the right side, this is your creativity and self-expression area. It's also about children. So this is the area that relates to how you express your ideas, creativity, writing songs, music, books, artwork, anything like that is in that, relates to that area.
Okay.
Now on the far side, furthest away from you, in the upper left corner is what's called the wealth and prosperity area, self-explanatory. In the center is your fame and reputation. This is how you are viewed by the world. This is how, all about respect in this area. And in the upper right-hand corner, this is your relationship. This is the one-on-one relationships, intimate relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, things like that.
All right.
It also relates to one-on-one relationships, working partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those are the nine areas that, because as I start talking, I'm going to be saying, well, in your relationship area, so I wanted to explain how that
sure.
plays out. Okay.
All right. So if we're looking to, you know, set up our bedrooms. I guess that's probably the most important place because that's where you're most affected at night by the energies in the room, correct?
That's usually where I tell people to start.
Okay.
Is start in your master bedroom or start in the bedroom that you're sleeping in. Because I explained the nine areas laid out over the house. You can overlay that in each individual room, too. And usually I tell people focus room by room because it's easier.
Okay.
Because what's really the reason I tell them that is what's closest to you has the greatest effect on you. So when you're in your master bedroom, you're more affected by what's going on in there than you are what's going on over in the living room.
Sure.
Okay?
All right.
So if we start in the master bedroom, one of the things to really look at is where's the bed placed? That's the focal object in the bedroom. And the best position for your bed is in a position where when you're laying down, you can see the door to the bedroom.
All right.
But not directly in line with the door.
Okay.
Doorways act as
Like an energy portal type thing?
It's an energy portal. It's more like a narrowing of a river where the water speeds up. That's okay. Where energy speeds through. So basically, if your bed or is in line with that, you're getting this energy rush, this subtle energy rush across that part of the bed. So it can affect some people. Some people, it doesn't affect so much. But the general rule is try not to have your bed in line with the doorway.
Okay.
Not always practical because the way rooms are built, but that's the general rule.
Now you're talking a regular doorway, not a closet door?
Exactly. Regular doorways or hallways.
Okay. All right.
Or even entries. I live in Southern California. A lot of the houses here have openings to your master bathroom right across from the bed.
Right.
So there's things you can do. What we did is simply put a drapeway across that opening.
Okay.
So we can pull them open during the day when we're walking in and out. At night, we close it because when you're sleeping, you don't want to be looking into the bathroom.
Right.
You know, you want to be in a place that's restful.
Okay. So now we've got our bed in the center of the away from the direct line of the doorway.
Right.
Now, should it be east, west, north, south? I mean, how should?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This gets into another aspect of feng shui. There's two real mains. There's a lot of different schools in feng shui.
Okay.
For this conversation, the two main schools is what's called the compass school,
okay,
which is a very traditional school. It came straight out of China, and that looks at the compass directions. It's a very, very powerful form of feng shui. The art of feng shui that I practice came out of Tibet, and what we look at instead of the compass direction is how you enter the room.
Okay.
What I'm about to allude to is those nine areas I talked about.
Right.
That square. That's what's called the Bagua. It's a term that means it's basically the nine areas of your life. It's basically a map. And in the compass school, you orient that map where those nine areas lay out based on the compass direction.
Okay.
In the black hat school that I've practiced, we look at how you enter the room. So remember that line we start at the bottom of the square that has the career, skill, knowledge, and helpful people section?
Right.
Anywhere your door is on that wall is what you do is you lay out, you have your room. I'm trying to describe it without having a picture in front of me. You have your room. You break it into the nine areas with a tic-tac-toe grid.
Right.
The wall with the door on it is that line with the career, skill, knowledge, or helpful people. So you're entering through one of those three areas.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
You follow me?
Sure.
And each room is going to be different. One room you might walk into facing one direction, then you turn around and you're walking into a room the other direction.
Right.
And that shifts room by room. And if you look at those nine areas, most people write their goals and their aspirations are usually about abundance. They want some type of respect or recognition, or they want some type of relationship to manifest in their life. I've seen, out of all the clients I've done, almost 90% of people's goals are related to one of those three areas.
Okay.
It's interesting, though, that they're all on the back side of the room. So physically, when you walk into a room, you're always walking towards those things that you're working on. And ends up behind you is your career, your life path, what you do for a living, all the coaching, teaching. You know, if it's somebody that looks really, you know, is in really good shape, they're like, wow, that person looks really good, but they don't see the hours they spend at the gym or working out. That's all behind you.
Okay.
And then what gets people through their life day to day is their self-expression, their family, how they work in groups, and their health and well-being. So that's like basically a map of life is what the whole thing is.
All right.
And those energies lay out in the room the same way.
Now, is clutter a big part of feng shui? You want to clean up the clutter?
Well, we try and keep clutter out of feng shui.
Okay, right.
But yeah, it is. It becomes basically an obstacle to life. And it's an obstacle to what you're trying to achieve.
So if I have a lot of crap all over my room, that's cluttering the energy that's in the room then? And the positive energies?
Exactly. It's cluttering the energy of the room. And what it's also doing is showing that there's not enough room for more things to come into your life. You don't even have enough room for the stuff that's in your in your office or your bedroom or your closet or your drawers. So how are you going to get more abundance in your life if you don't even have enough room for what you have?
Okay, that makes sense.
So essentially clearing out some of your clearing out your clutter has that energy of making room for more in your life.
Now, we had a couple of comments in our chat room as we're talking here. What about a TV? Should TVs be in a room in your bedroom for feng shui?
That's always the big question. The feng shui answer is no.
Okay.
TVs are, bedrooms especially, are a place of relaxation.
Right.
And rejuvenation. TVs are a very, very active element. I mean, the images are shifting every couple seconds, if that. And most of what's on TV is very active shows. The news, most time not very positive. Shows that show on car chases or whatever, it's not conducive to rebuilding your body during sleep time. So the general rule is take the TVs out of the bedroom. If that's not going to happen, that's going to break up a marriage, that's not good feng shui.
Okay.
Put it in a cabinet or put a cloth over the TV where you can at least cover the TV at night.
All right.
You know, and taking it a step further, get all the videos or DVDs out of the bedroom, especially the ones that have all the, you know, active shows. You know, if it's
porn? Is that what you're saying, porn?
That's it.
Where are we supposed to watch the porn if we take the TV and the porn out of the room, David?
The relationship corner.
Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, shove it over there and spice things up a bit.
The sunroom. That's where you watch your porn.
The sunroom.
There you go.
Okay.
Everything happens in the
sunroom.
Sunroom or your son's room?
Yeah. No. Wow. Good night, everybody.
So you've got
to get the TV out of there. You've got to get DVDs, movies, stuff like that. Especially the action adventure.
EMF fields that are radiated off TVs that you end up sleeping in too. So it's not conducive again because of the electric fields coming off your TV.
Okay.
So it's a very physical, scientific reason not to have them in there also.
All right. So the TV's out of there, the energy, things like that are out of there because you want to make it just a quiet place.
You want to make it a quiet rejuvenation place. Think of day spas when you go into your bedroom.
All right. Day spas. Well, usually there's really cute girls dressed in white outfits there to rub me down and tell me stories. Yeah, that's not going to help. All right. So now we've got that cleared out. How about mirrors? Now, we have a question here. What about mirrors facing each other? In some cultures, they believe that that's portals for spirits to enter in and out of rooms. Is there a feng shui belief behind that?
It depends on where the mirrors are. And I'll tell you a story from my feng shui master.
Okay.
He had a little hallway in his master bedroom where the closets were, and there were mirrored closets on either side. And he would sit down. He would literally sit down because when you walk through there, you've seen, you know, hundreds of reflections of yourself. And he bought this orange robe, and he would sit down and meditate there because it looked like he was surrounded by all these monks.
Oh, okay.
So it became a great way to meditate, there was a great energy there because it was like this, sitting with hundreds and hundreds of monks in that area. Now, if you've got your bed between two mirrors, that's creating that energy of expansion, and our bodies are not used to sleeping in vast, open spaces. We like to be in a safer, more closed-in space, you know, almost like a cave. We want to feel safe. And when we're in big, wide-open areas, our body physically does not feel safe, and it's always on alert. So you might have a lot of sleeping problems if you have too many mirrors in your bedroom.
Okay, that seems to make sense.
Okay.
Now, again, is that something you can just cover with a sheet at night or something like that to help that energy or to help that expanse kind of go away?
What I tell people, usually what I find is, if people are having trouble sleeping, especially kids, they have mirrored closet doors. I say, before you go and take out the closet doors, hang a sheet or a blanket over the doors at night and see if it makes a difference.
Okay.
Because what you're doing, and when you're putting the blanket over, do it with an intention of this is blocking all this energy. Because it physically does close the room. Now, if you have a real messy room and you have mirrors, now you got twice as much mess. Because it's reflecting all of it, too.
Sure. Well, that makes sense, too. So I'll tell you what, Dave.
Mirrors, we could talk about for 2 days.
Sure.
Because there's so much with mirrors, what they can do to draw in energy, to deflect energy. I use them a lot as a tool in feng shui.
Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about feng shui and ways that we can start to improve our lives with it. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. And our guest, David Weiss, will be back with more right after this.
Don't you dare move. There's more to come from The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Hi, this is Patrick Burns, founder and director of Ghost Hounds Paranormal Investigators Network and co-star of Court TV series Haunting Evidence. I'd like to invite you to join us this February 1st through the 4th at Savannah, Georgia's Hilton DeSoto Hotel for Ghost Stock 4, our spirited weekend of spirits. We've planned 4 days packed full of activities, including exclusive after-hours private investigations to Savannah's haunted landmarks. Our special guest for this event is TAP's ghost hunter Steve Gonzalez, who will deliver our keynote speech at the event and be signing autographs throughout the weekend. This is a great chance to hang out with one of today's most respected and sought-after paranormal investigators. Please join us and find out for yourself why the American Institute of Parapsychology calls Savannah the most haunted city in America. Event tickets are just $49.95 for individuals and $89.95 for couples. Please visit us at ghoststock.com, ghoststock.com, to pre-register for what promises to be another amazing weekend. Hope to see you in Savannah this February for Ghost Stock 4.
To use the words of Mary Thompson, there is no greater pain than the loss of a loved one. So many things you never thought you would have to do, and so many decisions you never thought you would have to face. Mary describes the painful journey of losing her husband to a chronic illness in her new book, With Angels Beside Me, A Caregiver's Story. With Angels Beside Me not only takes you through Mary's struggles, but also serves as a guide to caregivers everywhere that are looking to find peace, guidance, and hope in their own situations. With Angels Beside Me, A Caregiver's Story is available right now at Amazon.com. Just search for the title on Amazon or for Mary herself. With Angels Beside Me is only $9.95 and available to ship anywhere around the world. If you know someone who's losing a loved one, or if you yourself are facing some sort of loss of a family member, be sure to read Mary Thompson's With Angels Beside Me, A Caregiver's Story. Available right now on Amazon.com.
If you read TAP's Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. TAP's Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TAPSParamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
You hear footsteps and things bumping and banging in the middle of the night. Could it be paranormal activity? Or is it just Dave and Tim raiding your fridge?
Beer.
Strange things happen in the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening, welcome back. Ooh, too short. I said I can't speak. Good evening and welcome back to the shoe.
It's great.
You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town, and we appreciate that. We'd like to welcome our friends from WNJC AM 1360 out in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Thanks for listening to us here on your station. Also like to thank all of our friends out at Planet Paranormal. If you're looking for the best in paranormal radio, you're going to check out planetparanormal.com, and our friends from supernaturalnews.com. If you want all the best in the news that has to deal with the supernatural and paranormal, check out supernaturalnews.com. Our guest this evening is David Weiss, and he is a Reiki master. He is a feng shui consultant. He is also a medium, and we're talking to him about the art of feng shui. Now, David, before we went to the break, we were kind of talking about the bedroom and some of the main things that can go on in there. Let's get to some of the fun stuff here. Now, let's cover this real quick. So you said if kids are having night terrors, if they have mirrors in the room, that might be the first thing to cover, right?
That's correct.
What else can we do to help our children and guard our children so that if they're having nightmares or things that we could do simply in their room to turn things around for their energy?
A couple simple things to do. One of them is close the bedroom, close the closet doors, because you don't want open doorways into their bedroom. Other things to do is make sure that their head position is their bed is placed in a strong position in the room. It's not. You want their head facing away from the doorway. I've seen some people where they had two boys, they had two twin boys sleeping in the same room. One had his head facing away from the door. The other one had his head facing towards the door, just the way they had their beds positioned.
Right.
And the kids, they decided to make them go to sleep. I don't know why. And one of the kids always was having a lot of problems. And I said, well, just turn them around. Have them sleep the other way and see what changes. And things shifted for the kid. He started sleeping better and stuff like that. You want to make sure that their bed is not under a window, directly under a window, because windows don't block the energy. They don't support you at night.
Okay.
Because it's an opening to the outside. You want your bed, if you can, up against a solid wall.
All right. Okay. Well, now, what if, see, like, in my kid's room, they're kind of screwed. You walk into the room, and I've got bunk beds for my two sons, mm-hmm. and the only wall that supports it, one side of them is right up against the window. The end of the bed faces the open closet, because we don't have closet doors on there, so they're not getting their fingers pinched and tweaked in there.
Right.
So, you know, what do we do in that situation? Now, we do have, shades over the windows.
Yeah, shades over the windows, so right. You can pull the shade down over the window. Make sure that in one of the things in the fame reputation area of the room.
Okay.
That now we're going to start getting to some of the elements. One of the elements for the fame and reputation is fire. It's on the back side of the room. This is also about respect. It's also about protection. So you can put something red there. It can be a symbol. You know, kids like, if they like dragons or things like that.
Right.
It doesn't have to be Chinese. It can be whatever they like. It can be their superheroes.
Sure.
And have them in the room, in that general area, in the back side of the room, somewhere, for protection.
Okay.
Other things that you can do if you've got a window is you can put some red tape. You know, it doesn't have to be seen, but it can be almost like an energy block for the window, containing the energy in the room. I've done that in people's offices where their back is to a window, or people's beds where the only place to put it is right up against the window.
Right.
And I'll put a piece of red tape along the headboard, and possibly if you go to a craft store, you'll see like these little 8-sided mirrors.
Sure.
You can get a small 8-sided mirror and face it so the mirror is facing outside against the wall, deflecting the energy from coming into the room through the window.
You know, what's interesting with the red tape and the red stuff is that, my oldest son, his mom is Italian, and the grandmother wanted to pin a little piece of red yarn to his baby gown when he was born because it was supposedly to deflect the evil eye.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
I've heard something about that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I wonder why the color red seems to be a protective color.
Well, red represents the element of fire.
Okay.
Which is all about respect.
Okay.
You don't go into a campfire and put your hand. Well, some people do, but it depends on how much you've had to drink. A normal person is not going to go up and just put their hand right up into the fire. They're going to approach it a little bit more cautiously. Red represents that energy. It's also a sign of stop signs, brake lights. You know, they're all red for a reason, because it catches your eye and it has that energy of caution, respect. So that's why the red is used in those, with that intent.
Okay. So now you've got that squared away for the kids' room. What do I want to do here? Give me a couple of tips. I want to, I want $10,000. I need money here. What are some things that we can do in our house to make the money happen?
Okay. One of the things to look for in any home is look at where your bathrooms are located.
Okay.
And see if they're all located in the same general area of the house. So like if you drew that grid over your house, if you've got a one-story or two-story house, see where the bathrooms tend to fall. In my house where I live right now, I bought it before I knew about feng shui, they all fall pretty much in the prosperity area. And what happens in bathrooms is a lot of draining going on.
I bet there is.
Yes, there is.
You've got sinks, you've got the toilets. I've actually had people call me and say, yeah, it's like money comes in, all of a sudden it just feels like it's being flushed away, and I'll literally look and find toilets, three or four bathrooms in the prosperity area. So to address that real quick, one of the things you can do, and we're going to go back to the red again, is get some red tape. I use red electrical tape.
Okay.
Or you can get some red yarn, and under the sink, you've got the drain pipe that comes down.
Right.
Simply tie some red string or take some red tape and put it around the drain pipe before it goes into the U-trap.
Okay.
The water trap.
Sure.
And you do it with an intent of breaking the energy of going down the drain. It's a very simple thing. It's a 2-cent feng shui cure. Every consultation I go on, I make sure I tape every single drain in the house.
All right.
Under every sink. The bathrooms, the toilets are a little bit tougher because you can't put anything underneath the toilet. But what you want to do is put things, any artwork, you want to draw the eye higher in the room. You don't want to be seeing the toilet the first thing when you walk into the bathroom.
Sure.
So you want to have artwork up higher on the wall. And with the energy of lifting up, you wouldn't want, like, let's say a diver diving down, you know, a picture of a diver going down right over in your bathroom because it's right. got the energy of going down. You want, like, a bird flying up or okay. butterflies or things that are moving up.
In a positive deal, right.
In okay. a positive energy. And that helps to draw the energy up. That's real quick cure for bathrooms, especially if they're in the prosperity area. Other things you can do in the prosperity area is put things, and again, when you walk into a room, it's the back left corner or left square of that room. Things you can put in there is the color purple, which is always the color associated with royalty.
Sure.
Anything that makes you think of abundance. It can be magazines that have things that you want to achieve in your life, dream homes or boats or motorcycles, whatever it is that you really like, you know, things that show wealth, prosperity. Things you want to avoid in that area are trash cans, things that are broken, plants that are dead, anything that's dead, broken, not working for you, that shows lack or clutter, you want to remove from that area. That area.
Okay.
Okay. So things that are, you can put money from around the world. You can put gold coins if you have them, a coin collection. Even if it's something funny, one of my cousins gave me a stuffed animal of Scrooge McDuck.
Sure.
From Disney. I put him there. I mean, it was funny because he swims in, you know, vaults of gold. So right. why not put him there? He's got that energy of this is abundance. So it can be something fun. It can be a leprechaun with a pot of gold chocolate coins in there. Things that show movement, things that move up. If you want to put plants in there, like bamboo plants, broadleaf plants, you don't want the Charlie Brown trees okay. in this area. So you want things that show abundance. Out in California, I don't know if you have them. Where you are out here, we have a lot of ficus trees. And at the nurseries, what I got is a ficus tree with like four or five trunks that are twined together, and that's a symbol of abundance and prosperity too.
Okay.
Things All right. that grow up, things that are strong, broad-leafed, that show abundance. That's good. A great thing to put in that area.
See, Tim, now you can grow your weed in the corner of the room, and it's all good.
Sweet!
Is that right?
As long as it's broad-leafed and grows tall.
Oh, it's broad-leafed, baby!
All right. How about trouble in the marriage? What can you do to clean it up and make your life better with that?
Okay.
Besides get a divorce.
Okay. One of the things, because I know we're running out of time, but I want to address it
sure.
in general terms, is look at what's going on in your life mm-hmm. that's good, and look at what's not working so well. And even write it out, how you would describe it, and then physically look for that in your home. For example, I've had people say, well, I feel stuck in my career. And I'll literally try and walk in the front door, and the door sticks, or they'll have drawers that stick. You know, things are just not opening easily, or there's stuff shoved behind the door where the door doesn't even open all the way. So it can show like a lack of opportunity because you're blocking it. Okay.
Okay.
Look at, you know, somebody feels like they can't see clearly. What's your view out your window? What's, you know, do you have glass that's broken? Do you have a tree that blocks your view or plants that are growing over? Or do you have just...
All this really affects our lives, huh? So if there's dirty windows, dirty stuff like that, I mean, it really has an effect on you.
You know, I came from an engineering background. I was in the construction business for 16 years, and I left that just over two years ago and started doing this full-time.
Okay.
And I saw a lot of changes in my own life. One of the things I saw, and you mentioned problems in the marriage. It wasn't really, well, I guess it was a problem in marriage. At the time, I was working 16 hours a day
okay.
in construction. Had project, people just weren't doing what they're supposed to do, so I was trying to sell, and I was trying to project manage these projects at the same time. It was just taking a lot of time. I looked at what was in my relationship corner. I was still studying at the time. I asked my master, well, what do I do? He said, well, see what's in your relationship corner and see how it's relating to your life. And I had, we're Disney fans, so you're going to find that out.
Okay.
We had a Disney snow globe of Sleeping Beauty. And what it is a castle on a hill. You got a big dragon coming around the backside, and this little knight with a sword hacking through this briar, trying to get to the dragon, trying to get to the princess up in the castle.
Right.
And I was like, oh, my God, that's my life. I'm, like, fighting, trying to get through all this stuff just so I can get home and have a life, too. So I moved it out of the area. I think I put it in the garage or something. And I put things in my relationship area that showed harmony. I put some, like, rose quartz hearts. I put a picture of my wife and I in that area, and just things that were very soft, rounded, and gentle. And literally the next week, this situation at work had been going on for almost a year, where I was just, like, fed up with it. Literally that next week, the construction manager and project manager said, look, you know what? We're going to assign this guy to your project. He's going to manage it, so you don't have to be doing it. And I literally cut 6 hours out of my work day. Wow. It was down to 10-hour work days. Okay. And I was able to come home. And I was like, okay, that's coincidence. But over and over and over, I see this happening with clients, with myself. And just it's like paying attention to the signs and what's going on.
All right. What can we? How can people contact you, David? We're out of time here, but how can they contact you if they need help? And you can do remote viewings for them as well. How can they contact you?
My email address is enchantedliving4@AOL.com. And my office phone is 949-305-2304.
Okay. I will put that up on our website for you. I appreciate the time you've spent with us tonight. And again, thank you very much for your generosity at the Queen Mary. I'd like to thank all of you for tuning into the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're going to be back next week with the science of the paranormal and some cool talk about time travel. So make sure you tune in with us. Thanks again for spending your time with us here each Sunday night. We'll be back again next week from 10 to midnight.